This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Karnatz. The 2014 KUAF Fulbright Chamber Music Festival continues with a duo for violin and cello by Martineau, a sonata for violin and piano by Corleano, and the Schumann Piano Quintet. It's Thursday, May 29th at 7:30 at the Stella Boyle Smith Fine Arts Concert Hall in Fayetteville. Admission is free with a reception to follow the concert. FulbrightSummerMusic.uark.edu for more information.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, we take a look at a new study that analyzes high school graduation rates in Arkansas. Also, Dick Johnson plays a song from his new album inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
Plus, our weekly conversation with Michael Tilley from the City Wire. Becca Martin Brown tells us what's up in entertainment this weekend and more. But first, supporters of the state's ban on same-sex marriage gathered at the state capitol yesterday to rally in support of defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Pastor Derek Easter, a member of the Ecumenical Coalition of Faith Leaders in Arkansas, says he urges people who are gay to confess and ask for forgiveness, yet says no one should be treated with disdain.
The church's opposition to same-sex marriage neither constitutes nor condones any kind of hostility towards homosexual men and women. Always reminding church members of their obligation of love, kindness, and humanity towards all people.
The crowd of more than 200 far surpassed the number of people at a rally in favor of same-sex marriage earlier this week. But that number is also less than the more than 600 marriage licenses issued to gay couples before last week's stay of a judge's decision allowing licenses to be issued.
The Bicycle Coalition of the Ozarks has received a grant aimed at establishing safe bicycling routes for area schools. Allison Griffin, the Safe Routes to School Project Coordinator with the BCO, says the $33,000 grant from the Endeavor Foundation will fund an assessment that will determine the readiness of the school districts in Northwest Arkansas to adopt the Safe Routes to School program.
The Safe Routes to School National Partnership is actually a federal program whose mission is to advance safe walking and bicycling to and from schools and in daily life to improve the health and well-being of America's children and to foster the creation of livable, sustainable communities. So what this $33,000 is for, essentially, is to start that process to look at our schools and see where each school is in terms of readiness, in terms of physical barriers around the school when you're on your bike, parent involvement, teacher involvement, principal involvement. And so this is a launching pad, if you will, to move it to the next level.
Griffin says while schools like Fayetteville already have a Safe Routes to School task force, no area schools have a formal Safe Routes program.
We are hoping to integrate in the, I believe there are 15 school districts here in Northwest Arkansas. So what we are tasked with doing, we being the Safe Routes to School project team, is to look at each of these schools and see where they are in terms of, you know, are they ready to begin supporting a program like this.
The Endeavor Foundation grant will fund the readiness assessment phase of the Safe Routes program. Griffin says she expects Safe Routes to School task forces to be established in area schools by the end of next year.
Two debates are being planned between incumbent Senator Mark Pryor and Republican challenger Tom Cotton. Yesterday, Cotton's campaign announced it had accepted invitations from Pryor for debates to be held at the University of Arkansas in Little Rock and in front of the Northeast Arkansas Political Animals Club in Jonesboro. Cotton's campaign says it also wants three more to be held before November's general election.
The swimming area at Spring Lake in the Arkansas River Valley is closed until further notice. According to the U.S. Forest Service, the lake is temporarily closed because a weekly water test found high concentrations of E. coli, which is usually caused by heavy rainfall that can carry a variety of contaminants into the water, including animal waste. Forest Service officials are testing the water daily and will reopen the swimming areas when E. coli levels have dropped to a safe level.
The board of directors of Van Buren-based USA Truck will grow by two in coming months. According to the City Wire, The change was spurred by Bake Street Capital and Stonehouse Capital Management, which collectively owns 28% of USA Truck shares. As part of the deal, a managing partner and chief investment officer of Baker Street and a former chief operations officer at USA Truck will be appointed to the company's board, which will now have 9 members. USA Truck shares were up yesterday at the closing bell.
With ongoing extensive highway improvements throughout the state, the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department reminds drivers to check road conditions before traveling this holiday weekend. The website iDriveArkansas.com is the department's live traffic website. According to the department, the only lane closures during the holiday weekend in this part of the state will be between the 0 and 8 mile markers of Interstate 540 and Fort Smith.
The Razorback baseball team's winning streak came to an end yesterday. In the third round of the SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama, Arkansas lost to LSU 7-2. With the loss, Arkansas moves on to an elimination round today against Ole Miss.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals also lost yesterday. The Nats lost to the San Antonio Missions 2-1. The 3-game series concludes tonight at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms in northwest Arkansas. There's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the Arkansas River Valley with overnight lows from 64 to 67 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 78 in northwest Arkansas. In the Arkansas River Valley, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high near 84. Mostly cloudy tomorrow evening with a slight chance of showers in northwest Arkansas, lows in the low to mid-60s.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of The City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. Welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back. I'm just glad you're still around. half the world is already checked out for Memorial Day weekend.
It is true. It is true. I'm filling in for Kyle today as he's already headed out on vacation, but I'm glad you're still here to keep us up to date.
I'll try.
Well, we appreciate it. The first thing I want to ask you about are severance tax collections. I know you guys had a story on that this week.
Right. And as I said in the prep, this is not the most glamorous or sexy of subjects, but it is important to Arkansas. Tax collections for the first 3 months of the year were just short of $20 million, $19.9 million. That's up almost 30% over last year. And it set a record for the quarter. And the tax revenue is off to a trend to hit possibly $80 million for the year. The previous record in 2011 was $55.1 million. So it speaks well of what the Fayetteville Shale Play has been able to produce. However, activity, drilling activity in the shale play is reduced remarkably, but they're still pumping a lot of gas out of the wells that they drilled several years ago. And so we're seeing a lot of that activity and a lot of that money, just as a reminder, it goes back into road construction, and especially some of the roads that may have been damaged by a lot of the heavy equipment used to get some of the rigs in. But anyway, in terms of an economic indicator, having these severance tax revenue collections come in so strong, that's a good sign for the energy industry in Arkansas.
Well, something else that's kind of growing is the healthcare industry, and that's also important to Arkansans. I know in the River Valley, there was a rather large gift given to the Fort Smith Medical College.
Yes, it was a surprise, but on Thursday, Kyle Parker, who's the CEO of the Arkansas Colleges of Health Education, it'll be the organization that's building the new osteopathic college in Fort Smith, which is about a $58 million facility, and that's supposed to open the fall of 2016 and will eventually have 600 students. But Kyle Parker announced on Thursday that an anonymous family stepped up to donate $14 million. They don't want credit. They don't want naming rights. They just saw it was a good deal and they want to support it. So the organization that's building this now has about $80 million in the bank to build and operate this facility, and it'll be located on about 200 acres of land in the Chaffee Crossing area. So this is, you know, for Fort Smith, for the Fort Smith region that needs some good economic development news, this is definitely probably the highlight of the year so far. We'll probably end up hiring anywhere from 60 to 75 folks, good paying faculty positions, draw a lot of folks to the area. And something else, those residents will, those students will be in both Northwest Arkansas and Fort Smith area hospitals for their residencies. And so that will also support the medical industry in Arkansas. So another $14 million toward that was a very welcome surprise.
A happy surprise indeed. ATU, their Ozark campus, they are also working in that health industry area, and they got approval for a new building this week.
Right. It's called their Allied Health Building. It's a little over 20,000 square foot building there on the campus. And, you know, ATU Ozark has kind of been a quiet player, but one of the things they did with former Chancellor Doe Blondin, she was very active in. The current Chancellor Bruce Sykes has continued this, but they provide a lot of medical industry training. And a lot of the students that they have worked with are people who have been dislocated as, for example, as the manufacturing sector lost jobs. So, you know, some people working 10, 15 years in manufacturing suddenly found themselves out of a job, essentially had to find a second career. Well, healthcare is one of those things. And so, they're building this facility. It's supposed to be a targeted completion date of next November 2015, I should say. Hopefully, open for spring 2016 classes. But you know, the campus there has grown considerably. They've had over 560% increase in enrollment since 2006. Added over 17 new academic and technical programs, and so that is a what used to be just a very small little community college has turned into a pretty significant player in terms of helping people get trained for jobs that they can get into now. And so in considering the employment in the Fort Smith region, this will help. Employment in the education and health services sector, for example, in the Fort Smith region is up more than 22%. Compared to 10 years ago. So it is a growing industry, and this investment by ATU Ozark hopefully will help further support the industry.
And we often talk about the growth of our area. So finally, I want to talk a little bit about a big milestone that we're set to reach, or they're projecting that we're going to reach next week as far as population.
Right. The Northwest Arkansas Council in obviously, Northwest Arkansas is projecting, based on previous census numbers, that the 500,000th resident will arrive on May 28th. That's next Wednesday. And that's interesting, obviously, for a lot of reasons. The council is having a social media contest with it. You can go to the CityWire, you can go to the council's website to learn more about that. But what's interesting, we talked to a realtor, David Erstein, with the CBRE Northwest Arkansas, and you know, he says the 500,000 number, that's not just a number, but that's a critical milestone for groups that are looking at a region. You know, it's kind of a marker. If you don't have 500,000 people, some restaurants, some amenities, some businesses don't even look at your metro area. Now, granted, Northwest Arkansas has been a little bit different because of the Walmart impact and Tyson and J.B. Hunt and University, but you know, Erstein says this will help put Northwest Arkansas even more on the map as some of these site location consultants add Northwest Arkansas to that 500,000 group. So the Northwest Arkansas Council, of course, they're promoting that, and they hope it leads to economic development And it'll be interesting when the next census estimate comes out to see when we truly hit the 500,000 number.
Well, we will keep our eyes on that. It is a growing region and lots happening all the time and lots always happening at the City Wire. And I hope you get to take a little bit of a vacation and enjoy the Memorial Day weekend.
Well, I plan on doing a little bit of that. I hope you do the same.
I will. Thank you so much. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blue Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday and meet Paul Thorne with a Southern Mississippi accent, boyish charm, talking about his own style of bluesy rock. Paul came into the studio when he was in town last month, and he headlines the Friday night of the Fort Smith Riverfront Blues Festival, June 20th. Again, that's the Generic Blue Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
In previous years, a hodgepodge of criteria was used to judge how well high schools were doing at graduating students. But a recently published analysis of high school graduation rates in Arkansas uses a common set of guidelines for grading schools, giving researchers a first comprehensive look at which schools are doing the best job of retaining students through graduation. Ozarks at Largest Timothy Dennis has more.
The Office for Education Policy in the University of Arkansas's College for Education and Health Professions conducts many studies. Jennifer Ash is the managing director of the office.
The Office for Education Policy, we are a research office within the University of Arkansas, and we are here to serve as a resource to state lawmakers, superintendents, principals, basically education stakeholders in the state of Arkansas. We publish data sets that people are able to look at of Arkansas school test score performance. We publish reports and policy briefs on different topical issues about education in Arkansas.
Gary Ritter, a professor at the U of A and director of the Office for Education Policy, says that when the office was founded about a decade ago, its initial goal was to inject evidence into policy discussions regarding K-12 education.
So we used multiple vehicles to try and bring evidence into the conversation, whether it be a policy brief, a more detailed Arkansas education report, a blog post, trying to talk to folks who interview us, give testimony at the legislature. Our goal is to sort through the evidence and try and make it understandable to policymakers who don't have the luxury of the free time to dig through evidence like we do.
One of the more recent issues that the Office for Education Policy has been digging into is graduation rates of high schools across the state.
This is the first, as far as we can tell, statewide report of high school graduation rates across the state of Arkansas since Arkansas and other states across the country have essentially agreed to use a roughly uniform and accurate and meaningful measure of graduation rate for high school students.
Ritter says that in years past, school districts throughout Arkansas and across the country used their own idiosyncratic methods for measuring graduation rates, so it was hard to make accurate comparisons between schools.
Some actually measured graduation rate by the fraction of 12th graders who made it through and graduated, which is essentially a useless graduation rate, right? Because many of the dropouts occur well before 12th grade, and most kids who make it all the way to the first day of 12th grade are not going to stop. They're going to make it through. So that's not a strong measure. The measure that we're using here and that all states across the country use is essentially a cohort measure. We look at the students who enter in ninth grade, and we ask what fraction of those make it through and graduate at the end of 12th grade within 4 years.
Ritter says that in years past, school districts throughout Arkansas and across the country used their own idiosyncratic methods for measuring graduation rates, so it was hard to make accurate comparisons between schools.
So we took the state's rates and organized it in a way that was understandable. So we didn't do anything all that interesting to come up with the rates. What we did do that was interesting was do some analysis to figure out which types of schools were doing the best job of graduating their students. And we also looked at which types of schools graduated particular kinds of students. So we didn't just look at overall graduation rates. We looked at graduation rates for traditionally underserved students, students who are disadvantaged, who face more challenges on the way to graduation. So we identified not only schools with high overall graduation rates, but schools with very high graduation rates for its neediest students.
Jennifer Ash says that one of the surprises that they found in compiling the analysis is that smaller schools tend to have higher graduation rates.
We're seeing Elkins and Farmington among the bigger ones that we would recognize, but also in the Northwest region in general, we saw much smaller districts.
So Elkins was a surprising one. We didn't see Elkins on the top of the board when it comes to test scores, yet they were graduating upwards of 95% of their kids within a four-year period, which is a very high rate. Just to give you an idea of what we're talking about, the statewide graduation rate is roughly 82 to 84%.
The reality of small schools having high graduation rates isn't something Ash or Ritter often see when just looking at test scores.
With test scores in Arkansas, often the larger schools have the great variety of AP courses, the great set of resources to offer students, and indeed have higher test scores at the end of the year in across this state. The larger schools, the Bentonvilles, the Fayettevilles, the Rogers, even larger schools in Little Rock, have very high test scores. Among our top schools with respect to graduation rates, we did not find those schools. So in Northwest Arkansas, we weren't seeing Bentonville and Fayetteville and Rogers at the top with graduation rates.
Ritter says that because of the disparity of resources between large and smaller schools, it does seem counterintuitive on the surface that small schools would be graduating more students.
But there are areas, I think, where larger schools fall short, and our findings are in fact consistent with a national report that Jen Ash came across just the other day.
So a report just came out from the America's Promise Alliance, and they were surveying students to find out what would lead to dropouts. And one of the things that they found was that students that didn't feel connected at all to the school were more likely to drop out. So if they didn't feel like they had peers or teachers or a counselor or someone who would notice that they were missing, they were more at risk to drop out of school. So that kind of maybe fits with our small school finding. It's possible that this is just a smaller environment, that you're gone through school with a smaller cohort of people. Everyone knows your name, everyone knows who you are, and so you're more likely to stick it out.
Aside from the correlation between smaller schools and greater graduation rates, the report also showed that different regions in the state were doing better at graduating students than others.
The highest achieving regions in terms of test scores we continually find are Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas. Mm-hmm. However, in terms of graduation rates, we saw the Southwest section of the state was doing great in terms of graduation rates. And perhaps not coincidentally, the Southwest region of the state has slightly lesser poverty than the Southeastern region of the state and smaller schools than the rest of the state.
And like many of the reports that come from the Office for Education Policy, Ritter says that the statewide graduation rate analysis isn't overly concerned with what the state is doing for economically advantaged students.
It's what we do for disadvantaged students who might have lots more challenges that really tells us how effective a school is doing its job. And we also think that these reports, they don't tell you what to do, but it certainly tells you that we don't want to throw up our hands and say, oh gosh, it's just too hard. All of the challenges poor students face, economically disadvantaged students face on the way to school, challenges involving two parents working, having no time to help with homework, all of these things exist across the state. And yet some of these schools and high schools and school districts are doing a wonderful job with all of their students and specifically with their traditionally underserved students.
Ritter says that schools like Grace Hill and Rogers and the Kip Delta Public Charter School in Helena are examples of schools doing a good job of serving traditionally underserved or disadvantaged student populations. To find out more about the statewide analysis on how well high schools are doing on graduating their students, visit officeforeducationpolicy.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
It is Friday, May 23rd, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Karnatz.
And woo-hoo! Joining us now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Obviously, some congratulations are in order.
Yes, yes, new last name.
She's blushing. You can't see this, but she is. Very exciting.
I'm very happy for you.
So we are going to talk about black thumbs. No, really not, because I had nothing to do with this garden tour. Saturday is the Omni Peace Gardens tour.
Green thumbs.
Oh, yes.
Green thumbs. I don't think I heard anything while I was at Joyce Hale's house.
Hopefully
I didn't touch
not.
Anything. I don't think I heard anything. This is one of those gardens that you look at and you think you might actually be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I could do that. And her garden is all about retaining and reusing water. So lots of terraces, lots of underwater channels for water, lots of cool tricks like taking a plastic milk jug, putting a little tiny pinhole in the bottom, and setting it down next to your tomato plant into the ground. Then you pour more water in the top, and it waters, you know, put the lid back on.
Mm-hmm.
When it needs water, pour water in, put the lid back on.
Mm-hmm.
It waters the plants at the rate the soil needs the water.
Okay, I had seen a similar setup and was trying to explain to someone and they didn't understand what I was saying because I didn't know what was happening.
Well, there's apparently a Spanish or I'm not sure if it's Spanish or Native American tradition called an olla that's much the same thing. They're clay pots that the water seeps from the clay out into the ground.
Okay.
So she has all sorts of great ideas for reducing, reusing, and recycling, including taking political signs, which, golly, we have plenty of, and making little tents for your plants. Little plant houses.
That's fun.
To protect them if it's going to hail, mm-hmm. to protect them if it's too hot. She's just fascinating. And her husband, by the way, whose name is Jay or James, is the guy who invented the paintball gun.
What?
Oh, that's crazy.
Who knew?
That's really interesting.
And she said, oh, he's building an airplane in the garage, and I expected to see a model. No, he's building an airplane in the garage. Fascinating people. And there's eight other homes on Saturday's tour, including Emily Cates' No Plant Left Behind Peace Garden, Davi J's Spring Street Urban Food and Fragrance Front Yard, Kitty Gay's Greenhouse Garden, Geshe Dorji's Garden of Peace, Joy, Health, and Happiness, Julian Andy Feinstein's Deer Cafe, Dick Bennett's Peace Arboretum and Sculpture Garden, the Heartwood Gallery Garden, and the World Peace Wetland Prairie. So between 10 and 3 on Saturday, you've got 9 places to get to. You need to get moving.
Yeah, you do.
Are those all in, I mean, I know the Heartwood Gallery's in Fayetteville.
All in Fayetteville.
Okay.
And it's $10.
Mm-hmm.
$10. You can call 935-4422 to find out more. Also this weekend, because it's an outdoorsy kind of weekend, there are 4 Naturals baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
Against San Antonio at 7:05 tonight. And against Corpus Christi at 6:05 Saturday and Sunday and 1:05 Memorial Day. There's fireworks on Sunday and kids eat free. There's dollar hot dogs on Monday. How can you go wrong?
We'll actually be announcing in a few minutes on Ozarks at Large the winner of some Naturals tickets. And so you could pick some of these games to go to.
Well, how fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Timing's everything. This is also the first North Main Fam Festival in Eureka Springs. Food, art, music.
Oh.
And it's the new North Main Music Sculpture Park down North Main to town.
Okay.
So this is something new. They're trying from noon to 6 on Saturday. There's an All About Bears program on Saturday.
Where's that at?
It's at Hobbs State Park at 2 o'clock. I don't think they're going to talk about pandas, though.
Aw, you do love pandas.
I do love pandas. And the Old Fort Days Rodeo starts Monday at K. Rogers Park in Fort Smith. $10 for reserved seats or $15 at the gate. And family nights Tuesday and Wednesday, $5 for any seat.
Sounds good. Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
The Artist Fair Festival Orchestra of 2014 returns to Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art to present Mozart in the Museum May 28th. Hi, I'm Katie Henriksen, classical music host at KUAF. Would you like 2 tickets to the sold-out concert? Simply go to Of Note with Katie Henriksen on Facebook and share the Artist Fair Festival Orchestra picture. You'll be entered to win 2 tickets. I'll draw a name May 27th. Thanks and good luck.
You could win tickets plus camping to the 11th annual Wakarusa Music Festival, June 5th through the 8th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. Over 150 acts will perform, including Bass Nectar, Dr. Dog, and Boombox. The winner will be announced May 30th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and information available at KUAF.com.
The Artisphere Festival Orchestra, featuring more than 80 musicians from around the world, returns to Northwest Arkansas for a series of music events in May and June. Two concerts will take place at Walton Arts Center, including American Crossroads on May 31st and Scandinavian Masterworks on June 6th. Tickets and the full lineup available at 443-5600 or waltonartcenter.org.
It was 36 years ago this month that Joe Woodward, Frank Lady, Randall Mathis, and Moreau Schwartzlose lost their race for the Democratic nomination for governor. All four were defeated by Arkansas's young, one-term attorney general and former University of Arkansas law professor Bill Clinton. With the help of Roby Brock, the University of Arkansas's Pryor Center for Oral and Visual History, and the archives of KATV in Little Rock, here is what candidate Clinton sounded like at the Camelot Hotel after the primary votes were counted in May 1978.
This is a victory for the future of Arkansas. It belongs to many people, to my wife and family, to my campaign manager and our fine staff, to my administrative assistant, and the devoted public servants in the Attorney General's office, and most important, to the legions of supporters from every county who gave to me their time, their money, and their spirit under very difficult and unusual circumstances to help make our hopes and dreams for the future of our state to begin to become a reality. I am very proud of this campaign we've run. We have held the high road, we pressed the real issues, and we've reached out to all the people of this state. Now it is time to look to the future. I do so with joy, with hope, with a determination to give my best, and with great humility at the awesome responsibilities I have asked for the chance to shoulder. Tonight, I ask all of you who have stood with me, I ask my opponents and those who have fought with them in their hard-fought campaign, I ask those who have believed in me and those who have doubted to join with me in common purpose. Let us put aside our fears for our hopes. Let us trust each other and work to forge a future that will enrich the lives of our people. A future that will strengthen our traditions and our faith. A future that will make us proud that in our time, we gave our best. God bless you all, and thank you very much.
That was Bill Clinton accepting his first ever Democratic Party nomination for governor in May 1978. This is Ozarks at Large.
More than 40 years ago, the River City Street Band, based in Fayetteville, headed south to record a couple of albums at the legendary Ardent Studios in Memphis for Stax Records. The band broke up years ago, but many are still connected to music, including Dick Johnson. Johnson, the former athletic director at Fayetteville High School, never stopped writing songs, and recently he traveled to Austin to record a new CD. Proceeds from the sales will be split between Youth Bridge, the Fayetteville Boys and Girls Club, and to the statewide food bank called the Rice Depot. Earlier this month, he talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
A lot of people from my generation will tell you this of their hometowns, but it was the America of not much far, not very far off of Mayberry. That's the way it was safe. It was open, and you know, children were ushered out the door in the mornings, and were expected to be home by the time we had meal at night. And people had three meals, and most people aspired to not do identical things, but the same type of things with their lives. And it was a great place to grow up.
I'm guessing I have, because I grew up in North Arkansas, so I'm guessing if you grew up in Southern Arkansas, you might have had quite a mix of musical influences.
Yes. You know, Ashdown has really turned out a lot of musicians, some pretty successful Nashville musicians, not front people, but band leaders and
session guys.
Yes, session guys. And they all play mostly stringed instruments and that sort of thing. But there was a black man named Nelson Carson, who was a fantastic blues player. And he was the only guitar teacher in Ashdown. And so people that had the money to take lessons, they would learn from him. And, of course, if you wanted to bend strings and do shuffles and boogies and things like that, then you had to go see one of those. But it was a great atmosphere for kids. You know, one thing about it, Kyle, music was we had live music every Friday night. Ashdown was population about, 4,000 people, and there were 6 bands in our town. And we had live music every Friday night, and everybody would go. Nobody took a date because you go to dance with all the girls. And the social dynamics and all of that stuff were just so different then.
Well, okay, so the last 72, was that when you recorded the last?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, and is it true you had not been in the studio then until your former bandmate get you down to Austin, Texas for this one?
To a full-blown studio. I've done a couple of small things, but not in the studio.
But so. You've been writing all this time.
Yes, I haven't. I've never stopped writing. So
how'd you pick what would be on this CD?
Well, Julie, my wife, kind of had a vote. And
You're a wise man.
Over the years, some of my songs, people keep liking their favorite songs. So I picked about 10 songs to do it, but I ended up recording 15 songs because I wrote actually 3 new ones during the process.
Can we hear something from the
Sure.
CD?
Yeah.
Whatever you'd like.
I don't know. This is a song. It's about, you talked about Ashdown. This is a song about actually any small town. Where did you grow up, huh?
I grew up in Baxter County, Lakeview, right on Bull Shoals Lake.
Okay.
Well, Very small town.
Small town. Well, here's the deal. One thing people from small towns learn to do is they learn to talk.
Obviously, yes.
They learn to make conversation because when I was there, long, long before machines that could entertain you, the only entertainment was really other people. And so you learned how to entertain each other. And Ashdown's produced a ton of just great storytellers. And, you know, the genesis of all stories is a nugget of truth. And then it gets told and retold, and it becomes a time-passing narrative that it's fun to revisit. So anyway, I was with a bunch of storytellers, and I got a job over in the Middle East, and fit in right well with those guys. But in traveling, sometimes I'd spend 12 or 13 hours on a plane sitting next to people that did not like to talk. And I was on such a trip coming back from Dubai, and I had gone for like 24 hours without having a conversation. And when I got home, I started thinking about the difference between my life and their life. And the difference was that we had learned to talk, and we had learned to stretch time by talking. And so I wrote a song about that, and it's called Small Town Boys. Small town boys, easy to excite. Sit in front of Herb's on Friday night, watching cars go round and round, waiting for something to do. Twice told tales of minor dose, hearing old stories that everybody told, and dreaming about times that never were, and things that could never come true. We were prophets and poems and philosophers, had a feeling that life was leaving us, like the world going by and we'd miss the bus. Small town boys. Our wicked ways were a little light. Make a move on the girls, sneak a beer at night. But chasing away guilt was a constant fight. Mama thought we could do no wrong. Calling rule, calling roll, call it ritual. It never seems a bit unusual. On the hood of a car when the moon was full, popping tops, singing songs. We were poets with poems we couldn't write. We had a full blank page which to recite. We whiled away those summer nights, small town boys. But we never seemed shy, brotherhood. We traded licks on the shoulders when things were good. And cried the same place cause we knew we could. It's part of the give and take. But we headed for cities as soon as we were grown. Tried to get a piece of that great unknown. Some got God and some got some. Some just got away. But I've done a lot of realizing since what we had didn't have then. God, I'd love a chance to do it all again. Small town boys.
There's a song on this latest CD. I should mention the latest CD is titled Spig.
Yeah, my middle name is Spigner. My musician friends just call me Spig. And you know, I just wanted to depart from Coach Johnson, Dick Johnson, and do something different.
Does music allow you to do that, even if you're just writing, to be someone a little bit different or a different part of yourself?
Oh, yes, yes. I called my musical self the other guy. Mm-hmm. Because he was so much different from my public persona. Seriously, the other guy knows all the words to all the songs that I know all the songs I've ever learned. Wow. But I don't, but the other guy does. And it's a matter of getting into that place. And when you get in that place, I don't know where it comes from, but it's there. And so... You know, so Spig is the other guy.
I got you. Well, Spig wrote a song called Neil's Benediction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably about...
Neil Williamson.
Yeah. A fixture for so many years on Dixon Street.
You know, Neil was a friend of mine, like he was a friend of thousands. And I went to his funeral, and every musician within 100 miles was there. And if you've been around Dixon Street... You know, you know the people, you see the people, and you recognize them from being there with you all these times. And it was a sad and a happy day. Neil was he was one of the toughest people ever, and he was dealt a raw hand with his disease. But he never let it set him back in the house. He was brave, he was tough, and always positive. And he wanted to talk about everything. When I was a football coach, he knew about my team. He loved to talk about the Razorbacks. He was into it, you know.
And, I mean, you'd see him when they were called the Lady Razorbacks. He was at the Lady Razorback basketball games. He was everywhere.
He was engaged, and he did not let his affliction hold him back from anything. And even when he got the double, when we got Lou Gehrig's there at the end, you know, he was dealt an even worse hand, but you could not defeat the guy. And so that day at the funeral, the first line to that song came into my head. And I wrote it down on the back of the deal, stuck in my pocket. Was intended to be a eulogy sort of thing for Neil. But when I wrote it, I found that I could not write anything about Neil that wasn't uplifting, because he was so uplifting. I mean, he just was. And so I thought, you know, the legacy that if I'm going to give him something, I'm going to give him something that was like him. So that's how that song happened.
Well, do you mind playing one more?
Sure. What do you want me to play?
Whatever you want.
Well,
I'm asking you to do something for free, so I'm going to let you make the choice.
I don't know. I can play any of them. Just trying to think what's representative of the group. I can do Neil's. It's actually, it doesn't sound like a Fayetteville song. I don't know. Check my tune before sure. I start it. Now.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's to Neil, here's to Wendy, legends of the street. Here's to all of the crazies that hung out with me. Here's to moonlight dancing under wisteria leaves. They're all in my Dixon Street dreams. Here's to Roger, Levon, Stevie, and Bruce. Here's to old Bob McKinney and Pat and Martin, too. Here's to Shooter and Porky. Here's to Maxine. They're all in my Dixon Street dreams. Lift up your glasses and lift them up proud. And tune up your guitars and turn them up loud. Dance to the memories of those who have gone. Let the good times carry on. Let the good times carry on. Here's to Jose's and George's, a Lila's Cafe. Took care of me in my hell-raising days. Here's to Ernie and Earl, musical scene. They're all in my Dixon Street dreams. There are those that'll tell you the good times can't last, but I'm here to say I take exception to that. 'Cause there's something eternal about music and beer. Long as there's freedom, Dixon'll be here. So lift up your glasses and lift them up proud. And tune up your guitars and turn them up loud. Dance to the memories of those who have gone. Let the good times carry on. Let the good times carry on.
40-odd years we've haunted this place. Lord, time takes its toll in so many ways, but it can't touch our spirits, they're forever young. And let the good times carry on. So lift up your glasses, lift them up proud, and tune up your guitars and turn them up loud. Dance to the memories of those who have gone, and let the good times carry on. Let the good times, let the good times, let the good times carry on.
Every inch, every measure, every second of that is a Fayetteville song. It sounds exactly like a Fayetteville song. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
That's beautiful. 29th CD release.
29th.
A bunch of your friends.
Friends, no cover.
All right.
So.
Hey, Dick, thanks so much for coming.
Hey, man, it's been great.
Thank you.
Great.
Dick Johnson's CD release party will be Thursday night, May 29th at 8 at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street. His new CD is titled Spig. He talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
The 11th annual Wakarusa Music Festival is June 5th through the 8th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. Over 150 acts will perform, including Bass Nectar, Dr. Dog, and Boombox. Camping, arts and entertainment, activities, and more will be offered. Tickets and information available at wakarusa.com.
Still on the Hill will perform songs from Once a River, story songs about the Beaver Lake watershed, May 27th at 7 p.m. in Walton Arts Center Star Theater in Fayetteville. Still on the Hill will give away 100 CDs during this free performance, which is part of the Artisphere celebration. 443-5600 to reserve tickets to this free event.
A listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Winslow.
I like it. Winslow. We have some giveaway business to take care of. Yesterday, you and Kyle asked a question.
We did. The question was, how many pounds of strawberries did California produce last year, so in 2013? And the answer was 2.3 billion pounds.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of strawberries. Yeah.
All right. Well, we had a number of people submit answers, correct answers, and we have two winners. The first is Kelsey Ray and also Taylin Brendan. So both of you are winners. You've won movie passes, baseball tickets, and some Wakarusa swag.
Yes, a koozie and some funky sunglasses.
Absolutely. So we will contact you and get those prizes to you. Thanks so much for listening. And thanks to our members last night. We had some KUAF members last night meet us at Apple Blossom Brewing Company in Fayetteville for a happy hour KUAF member meetup.
Yes, that's right. Our relatively new membership director, Lee Wood, had this great idea that, you know, hanging out with our listeners just kind of after hours and in low key would be a great idea. And it is a good idea. So we hope to do more of those in the future.
Yes. So thanks to everybody who came to our first one. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Karnatz.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. And have a great Memorial Day weekend.